Good evening, everyone.
Good evening.
My name is Fatima Blackwell. I am a native Washingtonian. I've left here to go to school a few times, but DC continues to be my home. And I'm just really concerned, as many people are, about the changes that are taking place that will affect a lot of people. First, I'd like to address some of the bus lines that are on schedule to close. I believe I saw the B30 as one of those buses to the airport. As a DC resident, we're such a commuter city. You know, everybody from people from out of town, you know, people who live here, catch the metro. And so getting to the airport is really hard. You know, traffic, paying a taxi cab driver, Uber, that's going to be an expensive, you know, thing for someone who doesn't have a lot of income to spend on that. And so I feel like maybe some of the metro leaders or people who are in positions can go and catch those buses and see what it's like. You know, maybe you're not getting high ridership on it, but it's very useful for the public. So that's my suggestion in terms of that. The second thing is I understand changes has to be made, you know, to make the system better. But in terms of the late night closings changing to earlier, I think what needs to be thought of in a way is Metro's so needed in the city. You know, people have to leave work, either get to work late at night or leave work at a certain time and get home. And if they can't cover those shifts, then they don't have a job. And, you know, and some employees aren't really that concerned, oh, you're late all the time, or, you know, you can't come because, you know, you can't get home. They may not have that level of compassion to continue to employ people in such a way. And so we want Metro, I mean, my hope is that Metro continues to be the access that people need to get around the city. So that's my suggestions.
Thank you very much. Joy?
Hi, my name is Latoya Archibald. I live in Deanwood, so I take the Orange Line into the city. It drops me off directly at McPherson Square. I've lived in D.C. for over 14 years. And so I just feel like Metro is becoming less and less like its motto. Metro opens doors, but I feel like several doors are being closed to people just with regards to fare increases that are inevitable if we're gonna propose all these changes and improvements, which I feel like are necessary, but are prohibitive to people who already are struggling to pay to take the Metro. Another thing I would just like to talk about briefly is a lack of visibility for public, the opportunities for the public to come and talk here. I found out about this meeting through searching diligently through the website, but it was not very visible, and even the opportunities to comment and to vote or to take the surveys that ended, I think, last week for the various proposed openings and closures were not very visible. I saw the sign 2 days before the opportunity to take the survey, and it was at McPherson Square. I take the Metro every day. It was not at Deanwood Metro Station. There were not people handing out surveys. It just wasn't very high visibility. I have no idea how many people took the survey. It would be really interesting to know for that information to be made public, so just not just for yourselves, but just also for riders, and just to know that, I guess, our opinion does matter. And I'm also just interested eventually in just what it takes to be a part of the advisory council. Just have a lot of questions, and I don't want to always complain. I do want to be a part of the solution. So thank you for an opportunity to talk today.
I will take this opportunity to respond, because we do an annual recruitment, and it closes in 4 days. If you go to the WMATA website, there's a page for the Writers Advisory Council, and on that page, there's how to apply.
Okay.
And you live in D.C.?
I live in D.C., yeah.
You are in D.C., so
in Ward 7.
We officially don't have an opening, but I expect we're going to have one. We are recruiting for that.
Okay. Thank
And I was going to mention later, so I can mention it now. I don't think we got a presentation on specifically what was done for outreach for this last thing, but I know it was very intensive. Mm-hmm. I think I heard it was about 15,000 people responded.
Okay.
But I don't know the particulars. I know it is usually in all kinds of avenues, but obviously it wasn't somewhere you saw it. So that's, I'm sorry about that.
Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Hello. I'm basically would like to echo the first young woman who spoke regarding the B30. That is a very important bus line, and I know I and some other people I know take that line to the airport because it's affordable for us, and I think it's a really important bus line to keep open. And I also read an article that said that some Metro bus lines will be shut down in some areas of PG County where ridership isn't, I guess, as high as people want it to be, but it serves a lot of lower income neighborhoods, and I would ask that you or Metro reconsiders that proposal, because a lot of people, they need to get around, and Metro bus is kind of the only affordable option. Just like shutting down the Metro earlier would be a struggle for a lot of people who have kind of taken jobs based on Metro stations, depending on Metro being open so they can get around. So those are all my comments. Thank you.
Thank you. If I may also comment, I didn't think to do it earlier, was that just as there was an outreach on the mostly late night schedule change for service hours for the rail, there is going to be a public hearing process and outreach. I think January, I'm not sure, but it's a ways off yet, but that there will be again surveys and, you know, lots of notices about it so people can provide input on whatever is the ultimate budget. You've seen the first budget, you've seen a first proposal, but not by any means done. So I've used up your time.
Thank you.
But thank you for your comments. Thank you, all of you. You weren't looking to make a public comment, I don't think, right? Okay. Well, our timekeeper person isn't here, so I just want to double check. Because I don't know what to do. So I'll just go right through that beep, and I'm not sure if it's controlled over there or over here. Good job. The clear button, great. Okay, the minutes for our last meeting are in your packet. Do I hear a motion to approve? Colin is moving to approve. And who seconded? I heard a second over here somewhere.
I seconded.
You did. Oh. Any discussion on that? Any adjustments, problems, issues? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Yeah, thank you. Thanks, Will. Okay. So moved. Passed. Well, I understood you had a really bad time trying to get here on your bike, and no, it was your phone. It was your phone that time. Oh, sorry. Okay. All right. Chair's report for October. Where are my notes here? It's in the packet, I believe, so you've already got it in front of you. And I went to the board meeting, which was the October board meeting, which was last Thursday. And I did talk about the things in there, plus some updates that Colin had provided for me regarding the PPP progress. Some of the more interesting things. You know what? I forgot something. During public comment, I know all the public commenters in the room spoke, but we did have two by email. So I wanted to, as I usually do, summarize those. We had one come in about someone concerned about the red line and the safe track and the duration it was a few weeks ago before you started. So very concerned about that, and partly because it's also, you know, into the winter or close to winter, and it was going to be cold outside. We had another Red Line rider with a different, she wasn't complaining exactly, but she had a suggestion that she had seen people pretty much come to blows on the Red Line one day because people with backpacks were taking up the room of two people. And she thought that it would be a good idea if the announcement to say, take your backpack off your back and put it at your feet because, you know, usually there's a little more room down there. I'm sure there are pros and cons. You don't think so? Okay. I saw people tripping over backpacks one day. But I just wanted to see what you guys thought of that idea. It's something we want to pass on if it hasn't already been thought of to do that. How many people think? Any discussion you want to? You think it's a good idea?
I think it's a great idea, but I don't know how you enforce it and get people to comply with it.
No, I know. It's kind of like, you know, there are already announcements that need to be made about where the, you know, connections are between trains. And I know that the old everybody moved to the middle. Sometimes occasionally somebody moves, but I don't think very many do. I don't, at least, is that what your observations are too? Mm-hmm. Is that true? Anyway, it's an idea. And it doesn't, I don't know if it necessarily has to be announced every day as much as even if it were something that were communicated in some way, that will help. I can always pass the idea on if you, sounds like there are enough of you to think that's a good idea. Great, thank you. Sorry about that digression. So back on the board meeting, they did talk about service for the inauguration. They did talk about they would approve Catherine Cordham to be a member of the RAC officially, so she's now an official member. Welcome. And at the board meeting, you know, there's always, it's one of the first things on the agenda is public comment, and this time there were several representatives from one of the unions, one of the locals, and there was a lot in the media, so you probably already heard about it, but they were concerned, they said, about the safety of the work that they're doing and the pressures put upon them. And there's quite a few articles out there. If you want to just even Google that, you'll see them. And they're in the daily stuff that we send that gets sent out by Metro.
Is that what the repercussion came in?
Well, it was, I think it might have, I don't know if that was the same local, but it was a different thing. That was at Halloween. Yeah, this was strictly about, this was more about the pressures that management are putting on them to hurry up and get ready so that the customers can come in the morning or push them on, not listen to their ideas or things of that. They each, it was very well organized and structured speaking by about six or eight people and each on a different subject. They wanted some partnerships in terms of planning things and that sort of thing. So I was a little surprised when I read the recap in the paper or wherever it was, and the comments to the article were not at all favorable, almost exclusively. And I didn't know one way or the other what the response was. They didn't support what the union was saying, and they were saying these are the people responsible for the problems, and I was really taken aback. I don't pretend to know the truth of it all, but I was surprised that it was, usually there's a little more debate, and it was almost all negative. So I know Mr. Evans was very welcoming to them. One of them even mentioned that there had been some retaliation, or he was concerned about it. And he assured them that there was not going to be any retaliation and that it was courageous for them to come in, and he appreciated it. So that's all I know. And you can see what's in the paper or in all the different media. I went to both of the board committee days during October. I already sent all of you some stuff about the first one of the month. I sent you some handouts. Last Thursday, the main committee was safety, and Mr. Lavin, who we all met earlier this year, had three different presentations on various things that have gone on lately, like talking about the red signal violations you've probably heard about in the paper, and talking about, he did the quarterly safety report, you know, injuries and other events like that. Anyway, that was pretty much it for last Thursday. Except we had our quarterly, we had a surprise meeting with the executive committee, only a surprise in terms of we didn't know months ahead, we knew 1 week ahead. And because of that, Bob and I were the only two from the RAC that were able to attend, except for, of course, Patrick and his two vice chairs from the AAC were there with the executive committee. And just for those of you not totally well-versed in what the term means, executive committee, it's the four leaders of the board. It's Mr. Evans, who is the chairman of the board, and from D.C., and Keturah Harley from Maryland, and Jim Corcoran from Virginia, and then one of the federal people, the one that's on the executive committee wasn't there that day, Mr. Strickland, so Mr. Lobby, who's also a safety man from the federal sector, was there at his place. So Patrick and I put together a rocket speed presentation, as we had about 30 minutes for both of us, both groups. Our three topics were the rail hours, just talking about we knew that the hearing had brought out an awful lot of very negative feedback about please don't take our late-night hours away and so forth, and talking about our budget suggestions, things that mattered to us, and they asked us to send the budget suggestions again because they were actually getting to the first glimpse of what you've probably all seen in the media already, the first glimpse of the first draft of the budget for 2018 fiscal, which starts next July. And we also talked, Patrick, especially about the 7,000 series, because there have been some concerns with those. Do you want to just describe that briefly for this group in case they aren't aware of the 7,000 series issues that you talked to the board about? Patrick, do you want to?
Thank you.
Right. Do you want to describe what you mentioned to the board about the 7,000 series?
Describe what? I'm sorry.
What you mentioned to the executive committee.
Yeah, the two things that we talked about with respect to the 7,000 rail car series. One, the front seats don't have armrests, and so if you're disabled and you don't have good balance or something like that, being able to get out of those seats is difficult without the armrests on the front row. So that was one thing that we've been asking for a couple of years. The other thing that we were very much interested in and we talked about was the between car door barriers. We had someone come to our meeting last month and who had fallen in between the train cars, thinking that what he saw was the open platform of the car. And it was not. It was there was no between car door barrier. So when he used his cane, he just slipped right on through and he fell down. So he was okay. That's been in the news a little bit, this incident. There's a resolution to fix that that problem with the delivery of the upcoming 7,000 series cars. And also WMATA has also agreed that they will put chains between the cars similar to what they have now so that someone who is using a cane or visually impaired like myself won't inadvertently walk between the car doors and on the 7,000 series. Those were the two big things that we asked for. I think as far as congratulations are concerned, for about 15 years we had talked about making sure that the automated announcements were good, and we're very pleased that we've gotten that, so that's good.
And I took the opportunity of his 7,000 series discussion topic to do another plug, my semi-annual plug for the Blue Line. And gee, wouldn't it be nice if more 7,000 cars got to the Blue Line so that the crowding would not be as bad, because it's worse there than, continues to be worse than others, although we have a new quarterly vital signs report that just came out that's posted this week, and I noticed it's a little more equalized. But then It's also SafeTrack, so it's hard to know what the deal is. One thing Mr. Evans mentioned was that he's changing so that instead of just saying, hey, board members, why don't you all go to a RAC meeting sometime, he's actually building a schedule, and they're going to be sending someone, making sure there's one here each month, but not starting today. So that's it for the executive committee meeting. We can move on to the committee reports. I was going to start with that, but I won't because Christine is here. Do you want to talk about your in quotes, your emergency drill?
Sure, and I apologize because I didn't think I was going to make it tonight, so I don't have a whole lot to say, but I'd like to see a show of hands of who signed up, who's planning to attend the quarterly emergency drill this Sunday at Southern Avenue. Sorry, okay. So who signed up to attend the quarterly emergency drill for this Sunday? Okay, so we have four of who's here, four people. That's great. I'm sorry I am unable to attend. Barbara will be shadowing the
station manager.
So,
yeah, so it'll be different where you've, in the past, we've seen Christine walking through the train 15 times with the following, like a little duckling, following the train operator. I will be doing that with the station manager. So I will not be on the train.
So, and I would like to add with that what kind of a lessons learned for me. I've done this role in shadowing the operator on two different occasions. So the second time, I realized it was very important to get the feedback from those who participated to also add into my report. So I wanted to remind everyone to make sure that you share the information. You will have an evaluation form to fill out for what you experienced that day, but also especially things you find very important, make sure that Barbara is able to include it in her report so everything's shared and comes from the RAC. Other than just an actor who's participating via the evaluation form, I think that would be important. And the next one is not scheduled until March. I don't have a date or any other information, but due to the inauguration, March will be the next quarterly emergency drill.
Thank you. A couple of things I'd like to encourage people about is that I know for a while it looked like the drills were have a tendency to be in Virginia, and everybody said, can't we have them over on the other side of town? And here, here's your chance. It's Southern Avenue. It's close to D.C. It's in Prince George's. We'd love to have any of you that were deterred by the Virginia sites to come. Also, I know people have been very clear that one of the biggest drawbacks to attending is having to arrive at 6:30. Now, this is your unique opportunity to do it. It'll feel like 7:30 because daylight savings time is going off. So you can make it if you'd like, and you get that extra hour of sleep. So there's my sales pitch. So moving on to PPP, Colin, do you have any progress you'd like to report or requests for things like the thing I said I'd do and I haven't done yet, but I will.
Oh, yeah, sure. So, yeah, once again, the RAC does now have a live Facebook page. So, you know, those of you who would like to help populate that with content or, you know, help to kind of engage with writers once they begin following it, or simply publicize it, you know, through your social media accounts, please let me know. I think we're looking at this point to get some kind of evergreen posts and announcements up, kind of about the RAC, what we're about, you know, what we're trying to accomplish, those sorts of things, as well as get all of our meetings up on the calendar there.
May I ask a question?
Go ahead.
In regards to the Facebook page, the safety committee's talked about use of that means social media to get like some safety information, safety reminders. I don't know what we have to do as far as going through WMATA approved before we put out a statement, but we would like to use that resource to put some safety information out to the public, make sure you're maybe even post a link, you know, be familiar with safety while riding on Metro, that
sure.
stuff.
Yes.
I think as long as we are not saying anything contradictory to what WMATA says, I mean, or speaking for them, I think it's absolutely fine. That's the kind of thing we, you know, it's good. And to answer, I should have thought earlier when we had the inquiry about how to get on the rack, that you can also go to the Facebook page. If you go into Facebook.
Yeah, we posted a thing about the recruitment.
Yeah, yeah. If you just go to Facebook and say Riders Advisory Council, you will get to it, and you will see that.
But yeah, I mean, I think as long as, you know, to the degree that this isn't necessarily, like, new content, but you're kind of highlighting things that riders should be aware of, I don't see any problem with doing that. So if you've got some things you want to get up there, let me know.
Sure. Yes, thank you.
To, if people do have a suggestion, you want them to do what? If have something, content to put out there, or want to even submit something, or at least have an idea. You want them to send it to several people, is that right?
You can send it to me. You could send it to, I'm trying to remember who else we have on the PVP who's volunteered.
Joseph.
Joseph.
He's,
yep.
He's not here tonight. Because when I did something, he gave me like four names, so. At least it's you two, though, anyway.
Yeah, it's, I think it's me, Joseph, Sita, and I believe you, Barbara.
Okay. Oh. I've been telling him. Okay, fine.
So, yeah, I mean, reach out to one of us, one
sure.
or all of us.
Sure. Okay.
But if you want to just send it to me, I'll make sure that one of us yeah. tackles it. Or if you'd like to, you know, become more active yourself, you know, we can set you up with an administrative privilege so that you can, you know, contribute.
I think we had someone interested in making a public comment on the topic or something that we've talked about very recently. You'd need to come forward to the microphone if you did and tell us who you are and if you represent anyone.
I think I turned it off. Thank you very much for the flexibility on the timing. Dennis Jaffe, I live in Arlington, and just representing myself. I just wanted to ask a question on the application deadline for the public. It is midnight on the 6th. And that is often interpreted one way by half the people and another way by half the people.
Joy is very flexible.
Send it in.
Send it in, yeah. What is the 6th? Is that Sunday?
Yeah.
She's not going to be, you know, closing it Sunday. You know, if she comes in Monday morning and there's some there, she'll, you know. Plus, when I said that this is the annual recruitment that we do, but we sometimes positions come up when someone, you know, gets a job transfer to another city, something like that, and so we have openings off cycle, definitely,
right.
Almost as many, well, as that way as we do on the cycle.
Right, and I should have mentioned before, I forgot, I'm trying, but I don't know if I'll have time, to write a blog post on this. What would be appropriate to publish as a date for the public. It's not just really for me.
Keeping the date as it is. So we can write with the midnight at November 6th.
If you want, there's a press release on the WMATA site that talks about it, and then also
right.
our page on the WMATA site, Writers
right.
Advisory Council, has all the information too.
I saw that. What I meant was half of the people generally interpret midnight
oh.
as the beginning of the day, and half of people, technically it is the beginning of the day, but half of people and often organizations simply use a different interpretation.
So the question is whether it's the end of the day on the 6th.
It's
or
the end of the day because
yeah.
it doesn't matter.
That's what I was just
yeah.
going to say. The federal government, when a vacancy
yeah.
announcement closes, it's 11:59 p.m., so it's very clear on what day it is that they're
yeah.
talking
about.
It's on Friday. I forget which day.
It's a Sunday. It's yes.
Right. The 8th is Tuesday. That I remember. Okay. Thank you.
Sure. Sure. Did you have anything else you want to talk about?
Well, I was just going to say that it's my understanding that the application that's on the website doesn't ever officially close.
No, it doesn't. Right.
So
yeah.
I mean, people can submit their
yeah.
you know their application at any time of the year. Right. Yep. They go on file and then you know. Once new spots open, we review them.
We don't know, if you live in Arlington, we do not know that we have an Arlington, we aren't aware of any Arlington opening at this point. But that doesn't mean, we also have at large positions and things change. Okay. Budget and finance. Do you or Cisa want to talk about anything in particular there?
This is obviously the fun time of the year when we start looking at next year's budget. My plan is for us on our meeting next week just sit down and start thinking through some of the things that the GM has proposed, and sort of my first action would be to kind of like get some more information in terms of where we, like where they're just looking for making the staff reductions, or what are some of the plans that they're planning on doing in terms of the rail line service. I do have a question in terms of, like, if I recall from what I read, that the Rush Plus service is being phased out, and whether or not that has an impact on the amount of blue lines that will then
The Rush Plus service, I think, is because of the 12-minute headway. And so they would have some, I have to think how it works because I've just avoided the whole thing. Some yellow lines go to Springfield. And so it's not, there is some service every 6 minutes, but the blue line only comes every 12. But I think if the blue line, if those changes are made, the proposal is that there be 8-hour headway. 8-minute headways everywhere, and then so I think having the alternating blue and yellow is meaningful at that point. I don't think they'll have it. That's what I understood. Nobody told me that, but that's what seemed logical to me.
So that's where we kind of are with the agenda items for next week. My plan is to just like the last time I'll share it with more people, but just create the agenda as like a Google Doc, and then if people have comments or things that they want to add to it, they just go in there and edit in those items. And I also, because I attended the protests that they had out here a couple of weeks ago, I also reached out to that group, the organizer for that event, just sort of letting them know that we'll be holding that meeting, and it's another opportunity for the public to get involved specifically as it relates to budget and finance issues.
Yeah. What was I going to say? This is not only the first proposal, and so I think it'll be refined once or twice before it's then released for the hearings. And we do have a schedule, I just don't have it in my memory right now.
Would it be possible to follow up with the board to make sure they receive the fair recommendations that we sent them?
I'm going to be there tomorrow for their schedule. November, December is different from the rest of the year, and it's always, it's instead of the second and fourth Thursday, it's the first and third, so it's tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk to some of the board members and see if they have it, because John did say that he was putting it in their package last Friday, the day after the meeting, so
okay.
I can't imagine it didn't get to them, but I'm going to talk to one of them
and
confirm. Talk to a few of them and see if they have any.
Sure.
Their eyes glass over.
And even sending it maybe to Mr. Wiedefeld or other people, you know, who are in charge of drafting the budget right now, because as much influence as we can get.
Oh, well, you know, it did go to, Joey would have done that, I think, to Mark Schofield and to, Sean Cannon. When we had the original a month ago, you were giving copies to those two. They were on the CC list of the budget. Yeah, but it regardless, we can do it now. So we can talk about that after then. Yeah. And to Lynn, I think. Lynn and to those two. So, yeah, I'll have to check on that. Because the intent there was that would be part of, that would be input they would have before they put out this proposal. So we may have got it to the board in time, but not to them. Okay, that's too bad. Okay, anything else about budget? because of the comments that we had from the public earlier, and I should also probably say that I don't know where this is going to end up. There are only so many places that you can balance. You either get more income from jurisdictions or you have your expenses lower, and the only way expenses can be lower is something gives. And it the first proposal appears to try to take it from a lot of sectors, cut personnel, plus cut service, plus raise fares, so that you don't have this big a gap, but there's still a gap that the jurisdictions have been asked, and I don't know what their response will be, what they will, if they will agree to it or not. It's going to be a very telling time in the next 60 days, as if there wasn't enough change going on in the world. Elections, inaugurations. Okay, Customer Service Committee, do you have progress that you want to report, Mr. White?
Yes, my name has not changed. Not specifically, because of course we did not meet last month. And
oh, that's right.
Course,
I knew that.
Of course, all of the members have been...
Yes, you scolded them properly.
I didn't want to say that. But
no, you
yes.
did. I was surprised that you had it right.
Oh, true. And believe me, my pen is stronger than my voice. So anyway, one of the things, though, I do want to discuss, because of the fact that a lot of the things have already been addressed by WMATA that we did have on our action plan, to various degrees, that if we're going to make a report, should we just basically mention, you know, that some of the things have, I guess the direness of them have diminished, and so the need to pursue them may not be as strong, or, for instance, like, a lot of stuff has changed inside of what our committee is doing. So, I mean, we've lost the entire safety proponent, so, which is
right.
Fine. You know, we kind of like backpedal on bus ETA, so that kind of is like off the boards now. And one of the big things that we do still have to figure out what we're going to do is deal with the bus snow removal that will be coming up soon. Of course, we did meet with Jim Hamry, and which was a great meeting, but that still really does not answer how we're going to help, you know, getting the platforms cleared or making suggestions as far as getting them cleared. So right now, I think that's probably one of the biggest things that we have to look forward to working on. So, and possibly what we're going to look forward to bringing onto our plate for, you know, the upcoming quarter. So that's or when we have our meeting next week, that's one of the things that we need to hammer through. And again, I am not a team of one.
Okay, thank you. Hmm? Oh, did you? Yeah, you want to comment?
Well, just kind of, did you want to mention the stuff about the snow and the busing? But as we sort of get closer and approaching winter, I know last year, kind of fairly early when the new GM came on.
Yeah, it was November 30th, I think, something like that.
The unprecedented action of like shutting down the system for that massive
right.
snowstorm, and we don't know what it will be like this time. But if it's possible, sort of preparing for that ahead of time in terms of like setting up a plan or structure. Like if we do again have sort of a critical storm, Metro providing some sort of materials and terms of like this is what the shutdown procedure might look like, so people are a little bit caught at like have a little bit more information ahead of time.
I don't know if what exists is what you're referring to, but there is, there what they have is like snow levels, and if it's a certain level, then you go to this, I can't remember how they name them, if they're colors or if they're, I can't remember what the terms are, but they have like three grades of disruption, and that they plan on what they'll do with the various bus routes and with the above ground stations. And I think a lot of that exists, but that's a good question for us to ask. I don't know, it's probably a combination of rail operations, bus operations, and Lynn's group with communications, because they may decide what they're doing or have records of what they're doing, but she's the one that communicates about it. So, but we are going to have her speak next month. That's something we could put on our list of things to ask her about. Okay, anything else, Will?
Well, in response to Clarence, before I moved here from a snowbelt state, I didn't understand why Metro had so many challenges. And, of course, being caught in this scenario last year in transit, and I had to make immediate alternate routes to get to my destination, I was stuck on a bus. And, you know, and I know why I was stuck on the bus. And it was on Veris Mill Road in Montgomery County. And Veris Mill Road, if you've never been on it, is very hilly. The buses cannot climb those hills when they're very slippery. And so, I mean, outside of rail, of course, rail is, as far as that goes, you know, it's just the level of snow and ice that's on the rail system. So I understand that. But I do realize that, you know, the buses can only do so much, and at that point, that was when I guess they made the decision. It's like, you've got to stop, because now you're going to be putting passengers in jeopardy. And of course, the passengers didn't care about that. They just wanted to get home. I mean, I wanted to get to where I wanted to go too, but so I wasn't flustered and frustrated by it. But, you know, it was just one of those things. So, but yeah, I agree. We should find out, you know, at least some kind of way that what the degrees of severity are for shutting down different segments of the system, and perhaps even promote that or even put it on the website some kind of way, because, I mean, I guess the public in general just doesn't know. It just happens when it happens, and you're basically SOL when it happens. So yeah, no, good point.
Thank you. Colin.
I believe they do have a page on their website dedicated to the snow plan.
Yeah. I think they just pull it out. They may do modifications, like they may actually do some surveying of the sites, because, you know, snow is not an equal opportunity thing. It's just like, you know, there's some snow here and not here. So they have a standard plan, but then I think they do adjust it for the specific conditions that arise. Okay. Yes, sorry. I'm not used to comments on the committee report, so I'm sorry, I didn't notice.
But we have the time, so.
Okay, no, it's fine.
So along that line, can we also, while we're asking questions about this snow and adapting, can we also determine if there will be impact on SafeTrack? Could SafeTrack extend or be delayed,
that's a good question.
Will we know that if there's a snow delay? Will we know, oh, okay, so then the SafeTrack's going to be two more days here or something? So if that's something we can include in our questions, that would be great.
Yeah, I think,
because it's SafeTrack goes through January, right? Because they're taking a brief repeat.
It goes to March.
Right.
So
that's
before cherry
season.
Blossoms.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. It is. Yeah, I don't know what the plan is. That's a good question. Okay. Leadership and governance. Tonight we need to talk about something that's probably my least favorite thing to have talked about in my 2 years as the chair. I'm not kidding. I'm not trying to be serious. But one of the least pleasant things is that we have a member that has not been able to join us for several months now, Sherry Doster. And some of you that just joined 6 months or 8 months ago may not remember her, but she was here regularly at the start of the year. She has missed County Tonight six meetings in a row. And the bylaws specify that if you've missed three in a row, it's subject to dismissal by the RAC. And so tonight we need to take a vote on whether we want to do that. And I can give you some background information first. You might wonder, why are we doing this at 6 months? We, at around three, when we saw that it was three, was when, because she's a Prince George's County person, Marilyn, Bob did approach her and did, you did, I think, probably try more than once, but you did eventually reach her by email. Yeah. And so she said she was going to be calling me and talking to me about what had been going on. But she didn't, and she has not responded to various ways I've tried to reach her. And I consulted with the leadership team a month or two ago, and they agreed that we should, you know, reach out to her and kind of get this resolved, is she going to be a member or not. And so we have not received any response. And so usually when someone's attendance lags, our experience has been that there's, you know, clearly there's something going on in their life, whether it's a health thing, a school thing, a family thing, it doesn't matter. It's very often a job thing. But not hearing. So oftentimes they will say, you're right, I can't do it anymore, and I will resign. And we have not been able to reach her. Oh, and I have sent things, and Joy has also sent emails, and we haven't received an answer. So I would like to take the not common move. It's the first time since I have been the chair that I've needed to do this, is that I would like to move that we dismiss her from the RAC. Oh, I should mention that the bylaws do state what needs to happen, that before we can vote to recommend the termination, that I or the vice chair notify her in writing the basis for this, which I have done, and provide her an opportunity to offer mitigating factors. And I have done that, but she has not responded. And that give her the opportunity to resign, which I've done, but she has not responded. So because of that, the next step is for me to then recommend to the RAC that we do terminate her because she has not been able to attend the meetings for an extended period of time. And we do have a quorum here tonight, so I'm happy to discuss this as anyone wants to. Sitsa, you put your hand up first or whatever.
Sure, I want to ask, although actually I thought I saw Denise's placard up first.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
I have a question. So the communications to her was at the 3 month?
I think it might have been three or maybe four, I'm not sure.
So it's been 3 months since that you haven't heard from her?
No, I don't think it's been. This is the sixth meeting, so the first meeting she missed was 5 months ago, you know, I mean, so.
No, so maybe I'm not clear. So my question is, your communication to her saying the bylaws say that you will be terminated because you missed 3 months, consecutive 3 months, that was 3 months ago.
No, that's something I sent her recently.
So then it would have said you missed 6 months consecutively.
I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you. What?
It would have said she's missed 6 months. 6 months?
Well, starting counting tonight, it was five before tonight.
But she's gotten communication recently.
Yes, yes.
And how many days is she allowed to respond?
Well, in total, she's had a couple months. Yeah, because we started doing this a couple months ago.
But the official notifications are saying if you don't respond by November 2nd, 2016, you will be terminated. Does it say that? Something to that effect? Mm. So that it's clear that she's going to be terminated.
I don't know, Joy. Was that in what you said?
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken, we said if you don't hear from you by a certain date,
then
we will take that as a sort of
like
yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. And what was that date before today?
Yeah.
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 My question was going to be, we sent her sort of all these communications by email. Have we tried calling her by phone? Maybe mm-hmm. she just does the lost access to that email.
I can't remember. I think you
it.
Did, didn't you?
Yeah, I think I left her
a
voice.
Okay.
And I did, too.
That either.
Yeah,
right.
No, she hasn't responded to those either. Yeah. And I will say, Sherry has been a fine member when she was here. She, you know, was in enthusiastic and communicative, and she went to some drills, and I think bits and pieces have surfaced that maybe she started to school or something, was doing some schooling, or I don't know. I don't really know. I enjoyed working with her. There's no reason I'm motivated to do this other than, well, and I did talk with the Prince George's County board member, and he was very clear in that he wants to have Prince George's County people representing him here at the meetings, and so that we need to proceed with our standard action plan. Any other questions? Oh, yeah, sure, there are questions.
I also, in regards to the safety committee, initially she had put together the, you know, collecting when people would be able to meet. I've reached out since then multiple times as well with no reply, and then I started asking if she was going to be a part of the safety committee so we can clear that up. We had decided the safety committee that we were going to give a timeline that if we didn't hear anything that then we weren't going to include her anymore, because I was not getting any responses either. And you just took the words out of my mouth where, you know, it's unfortunate, you know, first of all, you know, if that's what the bylaws state, then it would be fair to everyone that we enforce them. And secondly, it's unfortunate there's someone else that would like to represent PG County and they're unable to because someone is tying up this position.
Right. And I appreciate your bringing that up, because I remember that you did struggle for a while trying to figure out if she was going to be a member or not and whether she, so I hadn't mentioned that. Anyone else?
So if there is a decision to terminate her participation after the fact, maybe Joy, you might know, does Metro reach out to this person to find out what their experiences were, to give feedback on that will help?
Yes.
Lessons learned on what the RAC can do better, maybe do something different moving forward. Does that happen? Or do you just cut the person off and not communicate?
I do, either I or the vice chairs typically reach out to anyone who is resigning, which typically they're resigning, and to talk with them. On rare occasions, they actually don't respond and don't want to talk about it. Other times, I mean, most. Last year, anyway, toward the end of the year, we lost four people because they left town and or took a job where they were told it's the FTA and they couldn't do that and do this. So it was a pretty straightforward thing. They wanted to continue, but they were leaving town. But no, whenever we have any suspicion that there's some concerns or was it because, you know, that we, even though we make it clear that, we, you know, the vice chairs are to reach out to the members and the members to the vice chairs if they have any concerns at all, it doesn't always happen. And so I do that. If I think everyone either talks to Joy or me or their vice chair, if they are, if we can catch them at all, then we do that. Oh, and so the next step in the process after a vote is that if there is a vote to terminate, recommend termination, we don't actually terminate her. Joy will notify the Sherry in question of the result of the vote and then forward the decision of the RAC to the board for consideration, but the board isn't going to say, oh, no, we're going to keep her. And, you know, I mean, they could, but I don't think that they typically would. We've always preferred the resignation route because officially, all of the members are appointed by the board. And so for them to appoint them and us to terminate them doesn't always feel good. So they typically, the people are amenable to resigning because they realize, you know, yeah, I can't make it. It's not going to be any better in the next few months. I'm not going to be able to do it. So, and the effective date would be upon approval of the board, just as Catherine had to wait to be approved before she could officially do anything. it wouldn't be official until the board does it. So I have made a motion that we recommend, I guess it's not, this is a vote to recommend termination of Sherry Doster to the board. Is there a second?
I second.
Any additional discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions?
Aye.
One.
Aye. Abstain.
Two? Two abstain? Okay. Did you get that?
Yeah.
We have two.
Yeah.
Debbie. Thank you. That's, like I said, this is a painful thing. I don't, because I don't know this total situation, and I'm sorry to lose her. But we have lost her. We've lost her for several months. Okay, on to other leadership things. The bylaws say that the leadership team of the REC is responsible for the orientation that the new members get. But I think that the best people to tell us about what are good orientation materials are the people that just got oriented. And I would like to see, you know, there's a packet that goes to, in case you don't recall, because it's been a while or you just don't recall, there's a packet that goes to the new people when they are officially joining the REC. And we will have some, we trust, in come January. So I would love to have a special committee, just an ad hoc committee that's for the next month or so that would look at the packet that we did last year and make recommendations about what you'd keep, what you'd lose, working with Joy and working with whoever from the leadership team is willing to work with you. I haven't really talked to them about this. Do I have any volunteers that would be willing to tackle that? Is that a question or a volunteering?
A question. Okay. I don't recall getting a packet. Now, I could have gotten it. Maybe got swallowed up with all my stuff.
It would have been from Joy.
Okay, great. Yeah.
Sure.
Thank you.
Well, and if we have, with the volunteers, I'm going to write down who the names are. Joy can always just send you the packet now again, because who knows where it would be if you did have it. So, at least that's... Who's volunteered? I know I can't. You volunteered too, or just
to look at the packet?
Yeah, and just make any suggestions
sure.
for changes. You have okay. So Denise and Catherine and Will and Colin and Sisa. That's great.
And just to be clear, when you say committees are 1 month, essentially I feel like it's 1 year, right?
What?
1 month.
Oh, yeah, no, it's just a group to do this, yeah. And it's probably 2 months. Let's say 2 months, because this is the first of November. But I think that the people are appointed in late-ish December, and you would be sending it out then, right, in late December or early January?
Yeah.
The question has come up, how many new members will we have? I don't think we know for sure. I mean, we do have everyone here out there who is up for reappointment, whose term is expiring in the end of December, has expressed an interest in being reappointed. That has to occur officially. And so we know we never filled the Fairfax opening because we had no candidates except for someone that moved away from Fairfax. We know we have an Alexandria opening because the one Alexandria member is term is over, and she is not continuing. And we have the DC, isn't it? There's a DC one that was supposed to be. Oh no, we have Catherine. It's Fairfax and Merrill. There's a. There was a Maryland one that I don't remember. I think you had a position that you had somebody, but I don't know that they've been voted in yet. For Montgomery County, maybe?
Right. Remember, that's the one that they want to go into the bank with this highly rated candidate that, you know, is still interested in. I'm trying to...
Oh, I didn't get that. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it'll be a few. It'll be maybe four, which is actually fewer than most years, because most years there's the... Well, we haven't done that yet, but yeah. Oh, no, we did vote. We did do that. Okay, so the next step is that Joy sends a letter and, what else did I say? Yeah, send us to the board. Yeah, we said that. I'm sorry. Yeah, so we do have the Okay, so we have the names of Denise and Catherine and Will and Colin and Sitsa. Did I get everybody that's volunteered to take a look at? So if you can send all of those people the packet. And okay, that's fine. And then you can provide, you know, say, gee, you know, what I always wished I had was, you know, what's missing? And or if there's something that you think isn't clear or whatever, that would be great. I need to appoint someone to get that, lead that. Let's see, who was the person most anxious to do this? Catherine, are you? Did you just get an orientation packet? Or did you not get one because you were here before?
I can't remember if I did or not.
Yeah.
You had looked through it a little bit the last week.
I don't know.
But you'll be getting another one because you'll be able to.
Would you be willing to just send out the initial email about, you know, why don't we approach it this way? Is that okay? All right. We'll do that. Did I forget? Did you want to talk about the bylaws?
Raise that if you also raise talk about my testimony.
Yeah, I know, but that's later on the agenda. But as we were.
I'm happy.
Yes. Okay. Bob and I, because of the Maryland connection on the absent.
It's because she has.
I have several numbers here on speed dial. So Bob and I were talking about the current bylaws and the rules. I read you the process, but what I did not read is that the termination of membership, there are several things that aren't applicable to Sherry, that, you know, it can be if the person has omitted or material or misrepresented information that was the basis for their appointment. You know, like you said, you did all this wonderful transportation work and it was all a lie or something. Refusing to execute or adhere to the standards of conduct, which are mostly ethical issues about, you know, doing business with somebody that's, you know, having financial benefit because of your RAC membership, something like that. The other one is failing to attend regular meetings, which means this monthly meeting is the regular meeting, for 3 consecutive months, or missing 2/3 of regular meetings in any calendar year. What I want to bring up is, because I was looking at this recently, because of Sherry, I was actually surprised. I didn't remember the missing 2/3 of the regular meeting. It's not a very high bar. It's just, you know, if you can't miss 2/3, which is typically 8 out of 12, it means you could miss 7 out of 12, but you can't miss 8. And that, when I talked with the Prince George's board member, Mr. Augustine, he was also surprised it would be so low. And I did research, and it was not the way we submitted it, but we can't account for what happened. I don't know if the board changed it or if the attorney changed it, but it used to say 2/3 of the meetings in a 6-month period. And it was changed to calendar year, which is far, it's not only, how do I say it? It takes longer for you to know if you know how bad, you know, the problem is or isn't. And so the calendar year, before it wasn't even a calendar year, it was just, you know, 3 consecutive meetings. It could have been December, January, and February. You know, I mean, and so suddenly it says in a calendar year. So we were talking, and I talked with others on the council about whether that's something we would like to try to change or not. And so Bob seemed, when I talked to him last, he was thinking that it was probably a good thing to look at.
I mean, I've been operating on the assumption for the last 2.5 years that the bar was lower. It was, I think you thought the bar.
The bar was lower. You mean that there were?
It was easier to terminate somebody. I mean, you know,
yeah.
It was something like, I have been under the assumption that it was, if you missed, I may be wrong, something like if you missed 1/3, you had a, you, expressing in the positive. You had to attend at least two-thirds of
right.
the meeting.
Yeah, I think that's a common
perception. In a calendar year. And I thought that's what it was. And I thought that was...
C.
Yeah.
One C.
I thought that was generally fair. I mean, people have reasons why mm-hmm. they miss a couple meetings, and that's just how it goes. You know, any organization is like that. But I thought that two-thirds was... That meant you had to attend 8 out of the 12 meetings. I mean, I don't care if it's 7 or whatever,
yeah.
but, you know, something reasonable like that. Because I think if you miss two-thirds of the meetings, you're not, I think you're not that interested. However, I also recognize always that there are extenuating circumstances for everybody. We have to find out what's going on, you know, and I think we certainly tried to do that with Sherry, and I think we would do that with anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, we all have family issues, professional issues, things like that. But I think we have to create and I'm not wed to that attending two-thirds. I just think we have to set a reasonable bar. So we know that people participating because we appoint people people get appointed from a jurisdiction. And that jurisdiction deserves reasonable representation. It's not personal.
Right.
It's like we believe that Montgomery, I want to pick up mine, and we believe Montgomery County should have representation. Jim and I should attend, you know, two-thirds of the meetings. And frankly, because we have had one opening for a long time, I'm even unhappy about the fact that we haven't had one opening filled. But I understand there are some
yeah.
political reasons for that. But anyway, that I won't carry on. I just think we need we need to revise the bylaws, whatever the process is, get a consensus with everybody as what the bar should be and just move on. So particularly because when people come in, new people come in September, they rightly they should have an understanding of what's expected of them. And the rest of us should have an idea what's expected of us. And it isn't, at least my humble opinion, you know, missing two-thirds of the meetings and still being a member of good standing.
And I will give everyone an opportunity to talk. I want to add to that is that if you carried it to the extreme, which I realize, you know, it gives the potential that everybody could be just here for a third of the time, and that on the average you'd have a third of the people here at any given month, and we would then never vote on anything and never have anything pass and never make a recommendation because we don't have a quorum. And that's never going to really happen because I know there many of you are people that you don't have to be told what your minimum is. You just, you know, you be here, you are here when you can be here, and you know, it's like with Catherine when she knew she was going to go to Berlin. I mean, she said, can I just have like a sabbatical? And I said, you know, then there would be no representative of you. And so I said, you know, I'd love to have you back when you come. And I was good to my word. And when she came back, but she had to give up that spot because she couldn't do the representation for, at the time she was Maryland, and she's now D.C., but yeah. So I don't know who came first, so I'm just going to go this way. So if you want to all give your opinion on whatever it is you want to do here, ask a question or say what you think.
Yeah, I think the recommendations that Bob put forward is the Roberts word is a good one. The one thing I would probably can add is kind of going into more specifics about what the notifications will be and the timeline. So, for example, saying like a person will be notified.
Sure, that makes sense. Totally. Yeah, I agree.
2 weeks to respond back.
Yeah. No. And we don't have to decide this tonight, but since we're all together, the sooner we can move it through and move, if we can agree, the sooner we can move it through, the sooner it takes effect, because it has to go through these other people. Catherine.
Agreed that the two-thirds is too lenient of a bar. But for the other part of that, when it says any calendar year, I would suggest changing that to any 12-month period.
I would too. Thank you. I actually, if I had come up with a very specific proposal, it probably would have been three times, yes, same as that. missing two-thirds of regular in any six-month period, because then you can react. And in, and maybe in the calendar year, it has to, you have to be at the majority of the meetings, or two-thirds for the calendar year or something. I don't know if you need all of those, but I think the shorter window allows you to, like if you had somebody who had attended, had, well, like with, if Sherry had not, for instance, missed three or four or five in a row, she could have been, you know, she had very good attendance early. No, I'm not saying this right. Anyway, you have to wait till the end of the year to know what they did in the calendar year. It means you could never react after a short period of time when it's clear there's a need to act. Anyway, I'm talking too much. Valerie.
I concur with the idea of changing point F1C, but I'd also encourage us to look at point two, because I actually went around the table. It says, terminate a RAC member's term for the actions listed above following a two-thirds vote by the RAC at a regular meeting.
No, I missed that. Isn't that weird? Two-thirds comes up a lot.
Yeah, so I would say a majority vote of the RAC at a regular meeting where a quorum is present. And
did we had? I
counted.
Two-thirds.
It seemed
we did
like
have
the,
two-thirds.
We, well, it's even counting the abstentions,
yeah.
I think it
we
was,
did.
Yes. Yeah.
Because it was all but two. And we have, yeah. I can't remember, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 14. 7, 8, 9.
Hmm? I counted 14.
14, okay.
But I just think if we're going to be doing the bylaws, might as well throw that one in too. A majority vote rather than two-thirds.
Okay. I'm fine suggesting that. I guess we have to put forward. I'm going to go around this one time and then see if somebody wants to put a specific motion on the table, or I'm happy to do that too. Denise?
I respect what the bylaws state about missing meetings. However, as one of the public commenters made a statement about the information about the RAC not being readily visible, my concern is with the definition of attendance. I'll speak for myself. I can't speak for Sherry. As a representative of Prince George's County, I've missed two of these meetings, but I went to the local community meeting in Fort Washington, Maryland. I don't know if you recall when I first came on board, we had a meeting with the Prince George's County representative, and he said he was interested in finding out what the community concerns were. And as I communicated to you and to Joy, the community meeting in Fort Washington is at the same exact time as this meeting. And they have it every single month except for in August. So my concern is I was marked absent for two meetings. However, I was conducting RAC business at the Fort Washington community meeting to garner feedback to present to the RAC and to disseminate to the local community in Prince George's County in Southern Maryland about the RAC. So I'm hearing conflicting information from the Prince George's County Board representative who said, I want to find out what the community wants. I found out when the community meetings are. I can't be in two places at the same time. So yes, I'm marked absent. So I'm reaching that point where I could be terminated. However, I'm conducting RAC business at those two meetings in Fort Washington, Maryland. So I think if you're going to change the bylaws, you have to put a provision in there. It shouldn't be so cut and dry. It's not black and white. I can't speak for Sherry, but if someone said, Denise, you've missed seven meetings, you're no longer on the RAC, by the bylaws, you would be correct. But if I'm spending time conducting RAC business at a different location in Southern Maryland, it's not fair.
How do you, the rest of you, feel about that issue?
I was in that kind of a situation. If the rest of the RAC knows that's the business of why someone's out doing something, then that can count as still attending. Sort of saying, like, you are out in that jurisdiction performing, like, and you're counted as attending for that purpose, but it's something that is explicitly known to the rest of the RAC, rather than if it's something that a person is doing on their own for something else that comes up, just so that there's that knowledge and awareness.
Can I respond? I just want to make it clear that before I attended the first meeting in Fort Washington, Maryland, I definitely contacted Barbara and Joel. I don't think I contacted Will to say that the Fort Washington, Maryland meeting is at the same exact time as the RAC meeting. I'm going to this meeting to let the community know I'm representing RAC and what my purpose is here to get feedback from you all, from the meeting attendees about their concerns about Metro so I can bring it back to the RAC. I believe that was either in June or July. They didn't have a meeting in August. And I went back, it's either last month or the month before that. But anyway, to answer your question, I definitely let Joy and Barbara know. I didn't communicate that to the entire RAC. But anyway, what I'm trying to say is I'm hearing two different things. I understand the bylaws, and I agree with that. But at the same time, when I started RAC, the Prince George's County representative, the board member, said, I want to find out what the community, what the members of the community in Prince George's County, what their concerns are. So, again, I'm just struggling with both sides of
it. Sure. I think I can only guess that when he said that, he was not assuming that it would be a conflict at the same time. Because when I spoke with him, he was adamant that, you know, that they have to find a way to get in touch with the community and still be at our meetings, because if they're not here to represent what they've learned, it's, you're not bringing the benefit of that. I know that in the time I've been on the leadership team, we have only once considered something not an absence. But generally speaking, an absence is an absence. If you're not here to vote, you're absent. But we made one exception for some time when we purposely asked a member, it was Debbie, that we asked her to go to a hearing because we had nobody going to that hearing, and it was our night. And so we asked her to do that, so we did. But in general, an absence is an absence other than that time. But if I, you know, happy to hear what other people think about it. I know you gave your opinion. I don't know that, anyway. So let's continue to go around. Will?
I had something specific to that. If you want me to wait, that's fine.
No, go ahead. No, it's okay.
As you were talking, I was thinking about, so if there's a conflict such as that where, you know, the same day, the same month, 12 months, you know, ultimately a way of rectifying that situation is like every other month you're at one meeting, every other month you're at this meeting. I mean, you can still do it that way. That's a way to resolve it.
And also, I'm going to cut up. That's exactly what I did. And I didn't plan on going to the community meetings every month, but I did say when I went to the last meeting that I wish there was a way that we could connect the people at the community meeting to this meeting so that they could hear, even if not see here, what's going on. I know we live stream, but they didn't have the system set up. So, again, it's preliminary, but at least now they know my face, they know who I am, they know that I represent the RAC. But yeah, absolutely, it wouldn't be every single month, but at the time I didn't know there was going to be any conflict. But all I'm saying is, with respect to the bylaws, I don't think it should be so cut and dry, because you don't know what you're going to encounter moving down the road. There should be some provision to allow the RAC members, if they're conducting RAC business at the same time as this meeting, that they shouldn't be marked absent. Especially if they let you know in advance, enjoy, and you agree to it.
Will.
I'm curious, and I can't imagine that I'm incorrect in this, but this is probably the most active year of activity that the RAC has had to deal with since its inception?
It probably depends on your definition. I wouldn't argue the point.
and I only say that because of the fact of the importance of, you know, members being in attendance and making votes.
Yeah.
And granted, I mean, I don't dispel what you're saying either, because what you're doing, there's some validity there to it. But at the same time, because we are being very active and we're taking votes, when someone's not here, we can't count their vote towards what might need to be done or what they may want to be done because they're not here. So, you know, their voice isn't present if they're not here, and we're taking an active vote on something that needs to be done, like right there that night, you know. So that would be a loss for that particular individual because, you know, they're not here. So it's a catch-22 either way you go. It's like you never know.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. James.
I guess while I can be sympathetic to these various concerns, I think one of the things not being addressed here, and maybe, you know, somebody was saying in terms of process and the bylaws, is that if an individual is not being responsive to either email or phone requests, or at least some contact, that, I mean, that's their responsibility to at least keep the organization informed of why they're not showing up. And at least it sounds like you were letting people know why you were, and so perhaps it is like, you know, excused absences or something like that that be added to this thing. But essentially, if someone does not respond, where are you, or whatever else, that at a certain point, the organization, just its business cannot be held up by a single individual who doesn't communicate. And that's their responsibility to inform the organization as to sort of what's going on and why they're not there. And it sounds like this is a case that essentially their constituents aren't getting representation. And so I think it is a valid concern whether or not you know, it's difficult with bylaws to anticipate all possibilities and write everything down to fine details, and then it becomes so restrictive that you get into all kinds of petty fights there. But I think that it is reasonable that if someone's serving on the committee, that they be responsive and communicate.
We have one more. You've had a turn. Sita, I want to take one more comment and then decide whether we're going to actually take a vote on some particular version or if we're going to refer it to the leadership team to come up back with a proposal or whatever. So go ahead.
Sita. I was going to say, first, I think I agree with Bob and probably most people that two-thirds is definitely a little lenient. So I would probably suggest revising that to a half, maybe, which already still might be lenient, maybe a little less than half.
Wait a minute. You're saying two-thirds is too lenient?
My recommendation was to say that they need to be at the majority of the meetings. Yes, it is. So it's a majority
so you can,
is.
So you can miss up to a half. Sorry, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
You can miss up to a half, not instead of missing up to two-thirds. So it becomes a little more, holding people a little more accountable. Maybe that's too.
No. You're entitled to your opinion. Absolutely. We want to hear what your opinions are.
But that means if someone missed five, they would still be okay. Maybe it could be revised lower. That's just my suggestion.
The reaction I did have when I mentioned that it's what it was everybody was like, that has to be a typo. I'm sure it was supposed to say two-thirds. You have to be there two-thirds
of the
time.
You have to be at two-thirds. I think even missing one-third is also a fine bar. I agree with Denise, and I think there should be some sort of provision. So just to echo that.
Okay, Colin, you're it.
Well, it seems to me if the original intent was to be two-thirds in a six-month period, that should be our...
Miss two-thirds or attend two-thirds?
Miss two-thirds. Okay. Didn't you say that was the original?
Yes, it was.
So,
and it's what's in the AAC bylaws, too.
Right.
Although a couple of the people I asked didn't know that.
Okay,
there.
But I mean, so that, even I mean, that to me seems extremely fair. And, you know, I think, Denise, you should be applauded for attending your community meetings and trying to, but you know, you could go, you know, if you're doing that every other month and, you know, we went to two-thirds in a six-month period, you still wouldn't be in danger of being dismissed. So, I mean, you'd have to miss four, right, in a six-month period. So I guess I don't really see the problem with you know, moving it back to two-thirds in a six-month period.
Okay. Do we have a moat?
Tell me again what your point is.
So the current...
it used to say that you couldn't miss more than two-thirds in a six-month period.
Right.
That is more strict than two-thirds in a calendar.
Four meetings in a six-month period, as opposed to what it is now, which would be eight, three in a row, or eight meetings in a year.
Yeah.
It's only
slightly more strict.
Seems like even if, you know, some of us have some conflicts from time to time, it's still sort of a non-issue.
Yeah.
That's currently the policy.
Yeah, I know, but I think that policy is who knows.
But right now it's in a year. The original, what Barbara originally said was that the original intent of this policy, somewhere along the lines it got mucked up or there was a typo. The original intent was for it to be, you can be dismissed after missing three meetings in a row or two-thirds of meetings in a six-month period, which would be four meetings in a six-month period. As opposed to the current eight meetings in a year.
Right.
Right, you'd take you'd be able to take action faster, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to waiting a year, so.
So don't just. Does anyone want to make a motion, a specific motion? No, any 6 month period. It'd be rolling. It'd be a rolling 6 months.
So rolling 6 months. So
if at any time.
Anyone has been this past, for the past 6 meetings at any time?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they can.
I'm sorry, it means technically they could just. No. It's for.
So what is the purpose of having both there? Is there a reason why it says three consecutive and then, or the two thirds and whether it's 6 months?
You know, it's hard to know because I talked to Carol, who was the chair before me, who was the chair when this was modified, and they didn't modify it. And she thought it said you had to attend two-thirds. It could have been something that was just misread for a long time. And
what are the objections to creating a higher bar, you know, saying you have to be there two-thirds of the meetings?
I have no objection, but
I think that, again, there are always there are extenuating circumstances. And, you know, if people are, I'll use Denise's example, you know, if she's got a couple of meetings, community meetings that conflict with the meeting, the RAC meetings, and she lets people know in advance, I don't see any problem, you know, I say a couple, I don't mean six or eight or ten, but a couple. I think that's, we discount those. I mean, I think it's a reasonable thing to do.
It only works if a very few people do it, because if people did, very many people did that, then you'd never have a quorum.
But again, I think that people have to join, you have responsibility. It is not a lot to ask people to attend eight meetings, two-thirds of the meeting in a year.
And I think the reason it says two-thirds rather than a specific eight is because there used to be 11 meetings a year.
If they miss by one, we're not going to – if you miss by one because they're – the last meeting of the year, they're sick. No, we're not going to – no one's going to suggest they – I don't think anybody's going to suggest they be terminated. You know, I think we have to be reasonable. I think we need this – in my opinion, we need to create a bar that holds people accountable for coming to these meetings. We need to have a quorum. We vote on important things, relatively important things. But that's my opinion.
I just have a couple clarification questions, please. First of all, I think I've heard go a little bit back and forth. We are only talking about 1C right now, correct? We're not talking about the two-thirds provision in number two. So just 1C. Now, are we talking about this in specifically relation to one person or changing something here that is going to be going forward for everybody?
No, to change the bylaws
for everybody. So it's not going to pertain to this particular situation because this is what is mandated for now. We can't change it for now and apply it backwards.
No.
Okay. My third question then is with regard to what I thought Colin was saying, but I wasn't sure, about two-thirds in a six-month period. My concern is when does that 6 month start? It could stagger, and I'm not sure how we would, huh?
Whenever you start missing a meeting.
Okay. So I just want to make that clear when we're – so if you miss a meeting, that's the start point of the 6 months.
Right.
And then if you miss two-thirds from that point on, because, you know, it could be a different time, different 6 months for each person then.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
Okay. If you say calendar year, that means one thing, but then, like you said, you could cross a calendar year and be in a,
right.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that the six-month period makes,
I mean, if it was calendar year, January, December, and then they missed November, December, then it could still be the same. They'd be missing meetings, but it wouldn't necessarily count because of the crossover.
Right.
So you're saying do it in a six-month period starting with the first one.
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify those things.
And the reason I think that the six-month period makes sense as opposed to simply saying two-thirds is that, you'd have to wait an entire year to make that determination.
Yep.
And I think that's too damn long.
Mm-hmm.
like to make a motion that?
So, what is the process of changing the bylaws? Is this something that we do?
We make a recommendation, okay, and then we give it to the board. It goes through legal and the board.
So, who writes the language on the revised language?
We'd have to agree. We'd have to agree before we vote on what the wording would be.
I'd like to make a motion that we propose a change to the bylaws section F1C, failing to attend regular meetings for 3 consecutive months or missing 2/3 of regular meetings in any 6-month period.
Second.
We've moved and seconded. I can repeat it, I think, because it was what I had earlier. It was
basically replacing any calendar year.
I have a question.
Any calendar year with any 6 months. Patrick.
Okay. So we're talking about just RAC meetings, not subcommittee, right?
Oh,
okay.
Absolutely. Regular. Right, yeah, it's defined
RAC meeting,
elsewhere in
so
the bylaws. Thank you for asking.
A meeting, basically, yeah.
It's one of the monthly full RAC meetings.
Right, as opposed to the subcommittees
right.
or working groups.
Yeah, people are encouraged to do those, but we don't currently have any wording in the bylaws mandating that. When they were last revised, it's kind of, so we have a motion and a second, I believe. Any further discussion?
I think what Valerie said is okay, but I think there should be a provision that says, I don't know how you would word it, but there should be some way that the RAC can consider extenuating circumstances. The way it's written right now and the provision moving forward is too cut and dry. It doesn't allow for extenuating circumstances that may, as Bob said, maybe someone got sick on their last meeting attendance and they couldn't be here. Or maybe there's a conflict.
Well,
that
this is, I will say that the wording right now, it says that the RAC may recommend. And it also says that you can provide an opportunity for mitigating factors for consideration by a quorum.
Oh, where is that? Did I miss that?
Oh, you want to just lower it a little bit?
Number one.
Further. Yeah. It says may recommend, and then before. But then the person has an opportunity.
C3.
There it is.
I think
opportunity to offer mitigating factors for consideration by quorum. That is in there.
Okay. I think we have to, I would almost rather, not just because of my hearing problem, but when we're voting on changing a bylaw, I really think it should be in writing that we all understand what it is we're voting on, because everybody still is a little bit unclear, even though I know what's going on here, but I think, as far as Denise's question, the RAC cannot terminate somebody. The board does. This is very
clear. We recommend to terminate.
Right. We recommend to the board that they be terminated. And so there's two mays here. In other words, the first thing is, here's our guideline. And then the RAC may make that recommendation. So I think where the extenuating circumstances come in, let's say they miss 4 in a 6-month period, but they were in a car accident and they've been very active for 2 years, the RAC may say, hey, we're not going to recommend termination because there was a car accident. Mm-hmm. So this, the word may, I think, is very important here. That is not saying the RAC shall do this. If they do this, it's just saying the RAC has that opportunity to. And once the RAC makes that recommendation, then the board has to vote on it. So really the board is who terminates the RAC, not the RAC.
You have to have a super majority.
Second.
Okay, you have to then tell me what I have to say next.
Ask what we vote.
Asked, but we're going to vote now? Is that it?
Something to follow up on this.
Oh, Oh, a two-thirds vote. All in favor of closing discussions, raise your hand. Yes. So we have two-thirds. All against.
Well, I was going to add a piece to what Deborah just identified.
No.
I mean, if we're going to close it, then we're going to close it.
We're going to close it. Okay. So now we're closing discussion, and we're going to have a vote. Is that what I'm hearing? I think Colin seconded. Oh, yes. I'm going to. I'm making a point. I will play Vanna White. This paragraph C will say, or missing, I could pull out the old bylaws, and it says this. It says, missing two-thirds of regular meetings in any six-month period.
So that's all we're changing. That's your six-month period.
Yes. Now, what we're still saying is, for instance, that, no, that's discussion, never mind. Right. So all in favor of the motion as read, please raise your hand very high so we can tell who you are. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, I guess. Oh. No, well, and how many are opposed? One? So do we have abstentions? You're an abstention or a no? I mean, who? No's? No's? I thought you had your hand. Okay, we're going to start over now. All in favor, raise your hand high. And I'm going to count. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I don't know if I counted myself. Did I count myself? 11. I don't even know. I was raising my hand telling you to. All opposed, raise your hand high. 1, 2, 2. Now, this is the thing. No, this doesn't need a two. Oh. Huh? I know it, but I just realized. It could be that bylaws have to have a certain bylaws amendments must be two-thirds vote of its membership. A year and it's two words. It's three words. Three words. It's three words. That's it. So, that's what I'm looking at right now. The RAC may propose amendment of these bylaws by a motion that is made. You can pull it up. It's on the last page, 11. Yeah, it's all that's on that page. It's a two-thirds vote based on the number of persons currently holding appointments. We have 19 currently holding appointments because, and Sherry would be included because she has not been, whatever. And so two-thirds of 18 is 12. So two-thirds of 19. That's right, it's membership. So we had to have 13 people. And did we have 13? No, we did not. We did not. No, it did not pass. No, we can't.
What if I change my?
No, it's the membership, all appointed. It's all persons. Do we have 13 or 14? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Barbara, the next sentence is very important. It says, written notice of proposed amendment must be given to all members at the prior regular meeting.
Yeah, okay, so we can't do it. Okay. Doesn't matter. So I apologize that I had not reminded myself of what that said. So anyway, so now Well, that means we can't even change it to vote on it next month unless we say what it is tonight. Well, I guess we could say what we just said. No.
So, Barbara, can we put, I'd like to make another motion for another change of the bylaws so that we can put them all out so that we can vote on them next month. So can I put another motion for consideration of the bylaws? So that we can put this one out and,
sure,
and the next one out.
I have a real quick question before I leave. Should something like this, of this magnitude of importance, should something like this be on the agenda so that all the members know that we're going to be reviewing this, revising
this? That's
what it says. No, that's, right. That's what we have to do.
Okay.
And it goes to what?
But I think what Val's trying to do is make that happen. In that,
yeah, exactly.
We, yeah, I think she's trying to do that.
Okay.
I'm sorry, what is your proposal? What is your motion?
So I would propose that we consider changing the bylaws to, for that point number two, I'm sorry, if you could go back up. Back up.
Page 11, page 6, I think, or 5.
Okay.
No, wait a minute.
There we go. So I propose we change the wording of point F2 to say following a majority vote of the RAC at a regular meeting when a quorum is present. Rather than saying a two-thirds vote of the RAC at a... So a majority can make, what I'm proposing is a majority can make this decision. And then I would even go so crazy as to go back to the back end and have a majority make the decision, a majority of the members make the decision rather than two-thirds of the members.
So we just need these things in writing to be provided so that they can be provided
provide
in writing.
Tonight. I'm not they're not provided tonight.
I have a comment. I think probably if you change that into whatever to say what you just said, probably the entire bylaw should be reviewed in its entirety for consistency purposes. Because if you change it here to say majority and someplace else to say two-thirds, you're going to have a conflict. So what I'm saying, the entire bylaw
actually,
should be.
Actually,
you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. That's the orientation panel. Well, yeah, but that's no. It's, I'm not sure the best way to proceed right now, because I would like to give time to other things. It sounds like we're not going to have this ready.
I think the bottom line is that anyone who wants to make changes to the bylaws needs to provide them to you and Joy.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I mean, I think the way that this is written, it has to be actually physically present in writing at a regular meeting prior to being voted on. So, I'm not proposing anything. I'm just saying that we can't really do anything right now. So whoever wants to make changes needs to get them in writing as in accordance with the bylaws related to changing the bylaws.
Yeah, but if we do that next month,
then we have to
vote on
the
following. And then we have a new membership the next month.
That's the way it goes.
So they can't get it a month in advance because they weren't a member the month in advance. No, at the next meeting after. If we... No, but if we have to give them, if we have to have it in writing today in order to vote at the next meeting.
Well,
It doesn't really say that we have to have it in writing today. It just says it has to be on the agenda for the meeting, for the next meeting. So if we sent something for the agenda for next meeting, we could include it.
Yeah, it says written notice of the proposed amendment must be given to all members at the prior regular monthly meeting. Well, all members aren't ever at the prior monthly meeting. How can you give it?
I have a suggestion that basically we decide the next, because it seems like there are a lot of people who are interested in reviewing the bylaws, and you know this one in particular, but others in general. So I would suggest that over the next month, we just have a period where, you know, any RAC member can review their bylaws on their own time, email you any sort of their written suggestion for any amendments, and then in the following meeting, we'll go through all of the amendments that people have suggested and then put them on the agenda so people can read them and then discuss.
Well, and then you have to say, here's the current language.
And then that means we'd vote.
Right.
Not next meeting, the next meeting.
Well, my apology for bringing something up to take so much of our time that we couldn't do anything about tonight. I think it was because we were just talking about this today because of the vote on Sherry tonight, and so that's how it even came up. So, okay. It's not your fault. I'm fine with that. I don't think we have to vote on doing that. I think that's what we're going to do. Okay. So you will make a note, though, Joy, that we did have that motion fail, because that is a vote that we took that, well, I don't know if we didn't legally take it, though, did we? Even if it had passed, it couldn't have, it wasn't legit, because it wasn't a month ahead. So never mind. Okay. You'd say they illegally discussed it, whatever you want to put. I am so sorry. Okay. That was the leadership and governance, except for the fact that I am going to do a year-end recap for the executive committee, and so I need committee chairs who are here. 1, 2, 3, 4. All of you are here, yes, so that you would give me any updates to your annual work plan as of year-end. I don't know. I'll give you a date. I'll send you something that says that, and I'll give you a date. Announcements and roundtable. I know we have a lot of things that people have done in the last month that I think they want to share. So first I want to just go through what some of those are. Is there the hearing we've already talked about, the hearing about the late night schedule, 15,000 people. There is an... I'm sorry. There was a data day. Do we have anybody that went to that can tell us about that? The data day? Did anybody go? Nobody went. Okay. Today, Bob went to the Maryland legislature and talked about the proposed three jurisdictional safety commission, Metro Safety Commission. Yes. Oh. I'm sorry. Yes. Were you trying to dial me?
I don't want to take up a lot.
No, we don't want you to either.
This is important. Congress has mandated in the past that every state have a safety commission to oversee the rail portion of any transit that's in the state. Since we have a three-state rail system, D.C., Maryland, Virginia. There has been a rail commission in the past. It hasn't worked. So there is going to be a new rail commission that the Maryland legislature, the Virginia legislature, and the District of Columbia Council have to adopt. They have to adopt legislation, identical legislation, creating this rail commission to provide oversight to a WMATA on rail matters.
Isn't it safety matters specifically?
Oh, excuse me, safety matters. Excuse
me. Rail
safety. Rail safety. Thank you, Barbara. Because I'm the vice chair of Maryland, they wanted a rider at this hearing today, so they invited me. And The other witnesses were the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Transportation for Maryland, Chuck Bean, the Executive Director of the Washington COG, the lawyer who they hired to draft the legislation, and Phil Mendelson, the Chair of the D.C. Council. And I basically indicated that this was something I thought we need, that they needed to do. The Maryland legislature needed to pass this, pass the legislation generally as proposed, and get this thing moving, because riders are very concerned about safety. Very concerned. And I don't think they totally trust WMATA to enforce all the safety regulations and to run a totally safe system. This is an independent commission. It'll be made up of 6 members, 2 from Maryland, 2 from D.C., 2 from Virginia, with an alternate for each jurisdiction. It will have the power to approve safety standards promulgated by WMATA, modify those safety standards, eliminate those safety standards, suspend WMATA personnel who violate the safety standards. This would be a pretty powerful organization. And so I generally indicated that they're moving in the right direction, and it has to be done by February. State legislature in Maryland only runs till the middle of April. The deadline is February to get this done. They have to do it by then. The Virginia legislature is only meeting 6 weeks this year. They have to get it done by the middle of February. D.C. will probably get it done before the year is out, because they meet year-round. So that's basically what I did. It was a joint committee made up of state senators and state delegates. It was interesting. It's fun to do. I'm going to, I think D.C. had their public hearing last month. Virginia will hold a second hearing sometime in the early part of 2000.
They already had any?
They had one. They will have one in early 2017. I think we should touch base with the person in the government affairs office here.
I gave Joy the name.
Anyway, we should have, I think we should try to get ourselves
invited.
That's it.
Thank you.
If anybody has any questions about this thing, let me know.
Do they have their date posted? Because maybe I'm...
No, there's no date.
Okay, Colin, you had something you wanted to say, didn't you?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we are having Lynn Bowersox at our meeting next month. So
yeah, it's on my list too.
On our leadership call, we discussed that it would be helpful to have questions for her provided in anticipation of that meeting, so that she has something to talk specifically to, rather than kind of coming in and, you know, telling us what we've accomplished. So I'm hoping to compile that list of questions, building off of a list of questions that I developed for her a number of months back. And, you know, they primarily focus on issues of customer service, communication with riders, improving interactions with frontline staff, such as station managers, really trying to get a better sense for what efforts her department is making with regard to those issues, including social media interactions, standardizing procedures for responding to riders, messages on trains, things of that nature. So if you have specific questions that you would like her to answer or discuss, try to get those to me as soon as possible. So
okay, so you're going to assemble them for the whole group?
Because
we had talked about maybe using the vice chairs to do that, but I'm happy to have you
okay.
Happy. If you're volunteering, I'm happy to have you do that. That's
could
great.
Could you circulate your list?
Yeah, I can circulate my list. Yep.
Right.
I can send out a Google Doc.
That'd be great. Thank you.
The other thing that I was
And we need to have that so that she gets it a week ahead, 2 weeks ahead, what?
A week ahead.
Okay.
Even better.
Sure.
So if we meet with her, well, it's probably something like Thanksgiving or something, you know,
yep.
But anyway, we'll
okay.
find a date. You can look up
the
calendar.
So, yeah, I'll circulate that. Okay. The other thing I was going to mention, and it occurred to me as a result of your comment earlier about the, you know, the union and the Washington Post comments about, you know, the
yeah.
union, is that, you know, I think that the union and the employees do get some harsh treatment from a lot of folks. I mean, you know, whether it be management or writers or terrible internet commenters. And I think that, you know, many of the issues that impact them also impact writers, especially with regard to, you know, retaliation against whistleblowers or pressures put on frontline maintenance employees to, you know, fudge reports or anything of that nature. On the other hand, I think, you know, we've seen a number of instances where the union itself has worked to protect or reinstate bad employees. I think there have been, you know, recently there was a story about, you know, essentially eliminating the agency's disciplinary policy. And so I think, I guess I'm putting it out there as to whether or not it would be useful for us to have a discussion or a dialogue with, you know, the organization that represents the frontline employees for Metro, because so many of, you know, our issues do overlap, especially with, you know, with regard to safety and reliability, and, you know, customer service. Just putting it out there.
Yeah. I would like to add, you know, when you commented that, I mean, Mr. Riedefeld, one of the things he first announced when he came was that it was he recognized there was this huge gap between the line workers and management, and I don't think there's any argument. I think that there has been and probably is hope that it's changing, but that certainly wasn't what the group indicated. But that I think he'd been trying to make that change, but it may not be that it's succeeded.
Sure, but I think too often the discussion is between, you know, the union and top management, and it doesn't include those of us who sort of, you know, are impacted by poor decisions on either end of that mm-hmm. that discussion.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, Sita.
Sure. I just briefly wanted to share some information I learned. So last meeting, Catherine, you had floated the idea of asking WMATA staff to share a little bit about why it takes so long for them to set up their maintenance work at night, right? And asking them, you know, to really look hard at whether they can kind of make that process more efficient. So at the open house and at the hearing, I was able to actually speak with some of the maintenance officials, and I wanted to share what they said. So they said on a typical night, so they usually have 5 hours of closure time. The first hour is spent moving the train to their final destination, so along the line and making sure they're ready for the morning. It takes about one half to one whole hour to turn off the power on the system and to safely establish a work zone. That leaves them with about 2 hours of productive work. And finally, it takes about half hour to restore power and then a final half hour for the trains to actually move to their final spots before they begin service. So that was kind of an overview, and I have some graphics that I can share, I can email out.
Can I add, I noticed that tomorrow's agenda for customer service board meeting is all of those diagrams that they have.
Yeah, yeah.
It shows that this is what happens if you have a 5 hour gap.
Right.
It's just, yeah. So I think it's also going to be, you could might see it might be on the website.
Yeah. It did strike me as a little long, you know, an hour to turn off power and to, you know, make sure the system is safe to work on. And I don't know if we're satisfied kind of with this timeline or whether we think it's most efficient, but I do think as a rec, we ought to sort of double down on, you know, after hearing all the concerned and frustrated comments from people who were there 2 weeks ago. I really do think the RAC ought to double down and make sure that WMATA knows how much of an impact this will have on, you know, people working late at night, people who need to travel then, and sort of urging them to look into any possible things they can do to reduce the burden that it will have, you know, by
sure.
They're making it more efficient or doing the single tracking option or localizing it in a particular area, sort of like with the surges.
I'd be interested to hear what the board says when they have that all laid out on up here tomorrow morning. Jane, did you have anything else, Lisa?
No.
Thank you for sharing that. James. James?
Yeah, that's been removed.
Yep.
Well, the D.C. Council has removed that, and they're going to make it subject to the federal provision, the freedom of FOI of the federal government. And the idea is, since everybody has to adopt the same identical law, that that will be in both Maryland and Virginia's law.
Yeah, that was also removed. Yep. Yep.
So many more people keep raising this issue as to whether Romano is efficiently using the time it's got, that that's been a concern, as well as that on, I guess, October 13th was the expression by the board members that they made clear they wanted more hard evidence to save tax impact and reliability. They want more data to justify the prospect of delivering more high-time service.
Yeah, so we echoed that sentiment at our last meeting.
It's on the website right now for tomorrow's meeting. It was posted the day before yesterday. And, we should talk about what we want to do about that. That's a good point. I'm sorry that I've been keeping you late, and I appreciate that nobody's just said, hey, do you already know what time it is? Oh, my God. Yeah, we got to go. But Bob wants to mention something that I think some of you guys mentioned at the very start of this meeting that about Mr. Evans. I know that the Post editorial board came out saying that the feds should take over WMATA. And apparently Mr. Evans then said the same thing, and you said it was before the House or Congressional.
I just read something I got from the Post. It was before Congressional Committee.
Oh, is that where he was when he said that?
I believe that's where they were.
Uh-huh. News at 11.
He's not a happy camper.
He wasn't?
He's not a happy camper.
Oh. Okay. I don't. He's been very vocal for some time that he thought the board was too big. But anything else before, if I hear no objection, this meeting is adjourned. You guys have been the most patient people out there. Do you have any comments you want to make? You can make them privately to me or while they're walking out or whatever.